In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Could there be a silent majority who are now educated about a range of health consequences related to microwave radiation emissions from wireless devices, cell phones, smart meters, and aptly termed death towers? You're likely not to hear about the consensus from the usual sources. I suppose it's another way of saying the revolution won't be televised. Meanwhile, utility corporations, such as Consolidated Edison in the New York City area, extol the many virtues of smart meters and are now replacing analog meters with smart meters in New York City buildings. We're also told 5G infrastructure has been put in place in cities such as Houston, Chicago, Santa Monica, and Minneapolis. Will this silent majority use its numbers to resist and ultimately transform the deadly fallout of microwave radiation-related health effects? Past guest Dr. Martin Paul, Professor Emeritus of Biochemistry and Basic Medical Sciences at Washington State University, issued a 90-page report titled 5G, Great Risk for EU, US, and International Health. In it, he states, quote, "I expect the deterioration in brain function that we're already seeing will seal our fate if we fail to act rapidly and vigorously. Our collective brain function may become completely incapable of dealing with such a mega crisis situation." Well, with this statement, it's logical to conclude that unless something is done to stop 5G deployment, we will witness faster-paced deterioration in human brain function within the next few years. The Federal Communications Commission is among others considered by experts in the field as a captured agency. How else would a system get put in place to involuntarily expose hundreds of millions to 5G microwave radiation without long-term testing for adverse health effects? We talk more about human health impacts from wireless microwaves with three guests, Jeanette Hasberg, Donna Janelle, and by phone in California, Guy Ventresca. Jeanette is an activist and health coach from the Bronx who works with EMF awareness groups educating the public about long-term health risks associated with exposure to non-thermal microwave radiation such as 3, 4, and 5G. Donna is a body-mind therapist and has worked with similar organizations bringing awareness to the health consequences of smart meter pulsing wireless microwave radiation. Donna lives in Manhattan, and Guy Ventresca joins us by phone. He's a former U.S. Army officer during the time of the Cold War and worked in the IT industry. He's also been a natural health advocate since the early 90s. In 1991, he had initially learned about the dangers of EMF health hazards from an environmental attorney who studied the topic of EMF health effects. Since then, he's integrated the knowledge of EMF health dangers and existing natural health protocols. Jeanette, Donna, and Guy Ventresca, welcome to Another News.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, in the last two decades, the telecom industry maintained a trillion-dollar propaganda campaign arguing there can't be a mechanism of action from non-thermal electromagnetic fields, such as from cell phone radiation emission, to produce biological effects. The propaganda argues that type of radiation is too weak, but that's not true according to 40 years of research. Jeanette, you've been researching the health effects of microwave radiation exposure, specifically non-thermal EMF that is emitted from personal and household wireless devices. Would you please tell listeners about this research and what you found related to mold proliferation?
Yes. Surprisingly to me, and I had heard of this before, but there is practically an identical template of symptoms for mold exposure and for Wi-Fi hypersensitivity. So I suspect that mold is very frequently a vector, you know, for this horrible effect that people are having. As a health coach, we look for root causes, and rather than one specific thing to say that, well, there is this microorganism and we have a pill, like a pill for every ill, it turns out that there is like a concert of effects that happen. And even if they say, well, these weak little waves, what can they do on your great big body? Our bodies are composed of 80 or 90% DNA external to our actual organism, composed of our microbiome, which exists not only lining our gut, but also in our brain, on the surface of our eyes, in just every human system that we have. And it turns out, and this has been accelerated since 2005 with Hurricane Katrina and Sandy and other catastrophic events, that people have had water-damaged homes, there's been a concert of ill effects. Please see the movie Moldy by David Asprey. And you'll see that the effects of toxic mold can range from everything from digestive to metabolic to hormonal to actual mood and neurological, causing terrific violent mood swings and actual paralysis. But the research that was done by Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt and Dr. Mercola and an unnamed researcher in Switzerland on what effect the Wi-Fi radiation, typical standard household Wi-Fi radiation, on typical standard house mold, is that mold that was kept protected in a Faraday cage had just normal incremental growth. Mold that was exposed to Wi-Fi radiation is 600 times more virulent and more productive of deadly mycotoxins than if it had not been exposed at all. Now, I went to check the figures because I had been saying, wow, it's 60 times more. And when I checked, it's not 60, it's 600 times more. And it turns out that 28% of the population is genetically sensitized to the effects of these various molds, to where they have very severe effects. There's also a sizable proportion of people within the population who are now experiencing a lot of mysterious symptoms and syndromes, from chronic fatigue to Lyme disease, to all of these things are complicated by Wi-Fi and are complicated by mold. That same researcher, Dietrich Klinghardt, has pointed out that Wi-Fi exposure can actually activate latent Epstein-Barr virus and can cause a cascading effect of Lyme disease, where the various little organisms that are involved in the complex that is chronic Lyme and Lyme disease are activated and made more harmful by exposure to Wi-Fi. So he says that the first thing to do, that his patients that do get better need to be completely detoxed from Wi-Fi, removed from it, and allowed the space to recover. And there are many avenues through which this happens, but mold is simply one of them.
Before we move on to the next question, I wanted to ask our other guests here, Donna and Guy, if you wanted to add anything in regard to mold and microwave radiation.
We're electromagnetic beings. All biological life, whether it's plant, insect, animal, or human, functions as an electromagnetic being. We create our own field of measurable electromagnetic radiation. We're self-generating, and we vibrate. And this is not woo-woo. This is basic science at the biological level of life. So if you're introducing non-native radiation, in other words, man-made external radiation, that doesn't have as its origin the Earth. In other words, there's natural Earth radiation, there's radiation from the sun, there's radiation from the atmosphere. When you introduce non-native radiation, you're upsetting the balance of life within the organism, regardless of what the organism is. So it makes perfect sense that mold would be a byproduct of that. Donna?
I do know that basically I did learn myself about mold via dirty electricity. There's even an article that's called Nerve Disrupting Frequencies Radiating from Smart Meters. And this comes from the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers. And so they're saying that basically that it can emanate from your wires 5 to 6 feet out. So basically in your walls. So you've got that dirty electricity going and emanating out. And especially here in New York, we have a lot of old buildings. I watched when they were starting to repair our electrical cables downstairs in the basement where our analog meters are, and I took an EMF meter onto it. Whoa! And they had the rubber covering, but they didn't have any copper. So our place is really old. So, and again, as I've read to you before about how the smart meters don't have any energy surge protectors, which has caused a lot of explosions, fires, that's going right through those wires. So you've got a lot, and the wires can't handle it. So there you have an awful lot of dirty electricity, which brings on a lot of mold.
Now, Jeanette, you've researched a lot of different areas of human health effects from microwave radiation, including health effects specifically related to the digestive system. Could you tell listeners more about that?
Well, yes. The human digestive system is populated by billions, perhaps trillions, of tiny organisms that help us to break down, digest our food, manufacture hormones and enzymes, and to get, you know, the full benefit of our vitamins, et cetera. Without that, we could eat the best diet and not get any benefit from it at all. Now, these tiny organisms are on a life level where they are affected by EMFs. You know, the digestive system has been actually called the second brain. Most of our serotonin is created in our gut. When we have this kind of a disruption, this kind of a disturbance that comes, and I mean, it's hard to quantify. You would have to see some of the pictures. If you can see Take Back Your Power, what happens to blood cells when they're exposed to a little bit of this EMF radiation, they become sticky. They pile up. They are unable to pass through capillaries, which are one cell thick. There's this cluster of congealed red cells. The other thing is that the metabolic process, the insulin uptake, etc., is disturbed by EMFs. One wonderful EMF researcher in Canada, Magda Hava, has actually looked at people with type 2 diabetes. There were some of her clients who were able to offset the sugar spiking effect of, you know, eating an occasional treat, an extra piece of fruit, whatever it is, by exercising. Well, her friend would usually go and exercise in the park, and predictably, her blood sugar level would come back down to normal afterwards. Well, on rainy days, she was confined to her home where the Wi-Fi was on, or to the gym where all of these, you know, Wi-Fis and cell phones are blasting. And not only did she not experience the good effect of her blood sugar coming down, her blood sugar actually remained at level or went up from exposure to the Wi-Fis. Now, this tells you already, this whole digestive and assimilative process by which our body balances itself and takes in food and gets benefit from it is disrupted by the Wi-Fi. Another thing that I'd like to point out, this is jumping back to the mold issue, one of the really trademark effects of mold exposure, of mold toxicity, is weight gain. Without any other input, namely change in diet or lack of exercise or anything else, the weight will inexplicably come up. And this shows a metabolic disruption that puts, you know, just puts a a jarring effect on your ability to get the energy out of the food you're eating. Your body is just overloaded, freaking out, and storing as fat, and then shutting down the energy reserves. So the whole digestive process where we are expecting to eat a healthy meal, to get, you know, like a balanced day, and to have, you know, just a healthy, normal outcome is totally bamboozled by our inadvertent exposure to these things, and now they're going to have these things up every 200 feet. So it will be completely inescapable for most of us.
You're referencing the fifth generation antenna installation deployment that has already happened in Chicago, Minneapolis, New Orleans, Santa Monica.
Manhattan.
And is happening in Manhattan. They're deploying the 5G antennas. Have you seen those?
Yes, I've seen them. And I've seen some in the Bronx. I've seen some already up on the top of buildings. Tragically, I had a neighbor who had a heart condition, and she was a floor closer to the smart meters, which were also just installed, and on the side of the building facing those antennas. And she suffered a mini stroke in late October, and they discovered that she had kidney cancer, and she passed on November 10th. So I lost a dear friend. And I attribute some of this. I mean, you know, one cannot create a causal relation from one event, but I really feel like this horror is contributing to a lot of illness and death.
It does seem like there could be a connection, and it's worth looking into. Regarding 5G deployment of the antennas, I think Guy Ventresca, our guest, and others have mentioned that it's not been turned on yet. Is that true?
Well, a building biologist came. We had an event a couple of Sundays ago in the church. A building biologist told us that it has been, the infrastructure has been laid out, but 5G has not been switched on. However, we have 30, 40 years of studies showing that at the other levels of 2G, 3G, 4G, all of these levels, there is already clear danger. There are definite, clear signs of carcinogenicity and contributing to just a plethora of different health issues.
This is absolutely true. Let me run down a brief history of 1G through 5G so people understand. Because we're not trying to panic everyone that they should be on the lookout for 5G antennas like there's burglars in the streets. In a sense, though, this technology is robbing you of your vital life force energy. So the telecoms industry has been expanding from traditional movement of data through telephone lines and hardwire networks into wireless. And they've been doing it heavily they started in the 80s. So a 1G phone would be the brick-sized portable phone you saw Michael Douglas carrying in the Wall Street movie. 2G is when they started implementing, and this was on the heels of the 1996 Telecommunications Reform Act. This was Al Gore's masterpiece. This opened the door for telecoms to push the wireless technology nationwide. It also, as one of its side components, led to the consolidation of media, so that now we have only six corporations controlling 90% of all media reaching the public. So 2G started in 96, 97, and that was reduction of the size of the phone, and it allowed calling and texting. That's it, just calling and texting. There was no internet component yet. 3G led to more miniaturization of the handset, so the phones were more in the size of your palm rather than the size of a brick. That was when the Palm Pilot came out. That was a very popular model that I had. And this allowed calling, texting, and a certain amount of internet use. It wasn't very fast, but it did allow you to browse the web and send emails. That was in the early '00s. And then 4G, I think, came out in 2010, 2011, and that just advanced the amount of function your handset could do And it could, and that's when we started getting the proliferation of apps, the phone-based applications, so that you can order things online more easily, achieve faster transactions at your point of sale. So it became a commerce device, more than a communications device. And the speeds were faster. And then 4G LTE was rolled out, I guess, about 3 or 4 years ago. And right now, the majority of the networks in our metropolitan area are 4G, 4G LTE, which allows faster speeds. And it's quite capable. I mean, you really don't need anything more than that. Now, the 5G, the rollout of 5G, the infrastructure is being laid, but it's not yet complete. You may see the antennas, especially in Midtown Manhattan, since this show is broadcast mostly in the greater New York area. If you go to Midtown, you'll be able to distinguish the 5G cell towers from the 4G. And there's websites which show you illustrations of that. But these are not connected yet because the telecoms industry has to integrate a high-speed fiber network underground and connect it to the wireless cell towers. They acknowledge that 5G cannot be fully functional without the hardwired fiber-based, the light-based fiber cable integrating with the wireless, because they recognize that the amount of data that's going to be flooding into this system would completely overwhelm its ability to function. So they need the fiber, and they're not there yet. So it's going to take them another year or two. Now, there's a second danger here, and that is the satellite implementation. The plan is to launch 20,000 low-Earth orbit satellites to integrate with the wireless and the fiber networks to create a seamless... I can't help but think of Skynet, the Terminator movies. I mean, this is really what they're aiming at, is a Skynet without the killer robots. Mm-hmm. That may take another 10 years. I talk about that in my EMF handbook. So that's a quick summary of 1G through 5G. So I want to be accurate in saying that the 5G is not here yet, but we shouldn't wait. All of the pre-existing networks are bad enough in terms of health, but functionally, they are also good enough to handle our data needs. Why do we need high-speed streaming 5G movies as we're walking down the street negotiating the traffic? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense unless there's another agenda afoot, and I believe there is, and that agenda is the Internet of Things, which means, and here's the real danger, turning any device that's powered by electricity into a smart device. Think of every light, every electric toothbrush, coffee maker, dishwasher, refrigerator, anything in your home that's powered by electricity will have a receiver transmitter installed in it so that everything that it does functionally, and this is a reflection of your lifestyle habits as well, so your entire lifestyle will be recorded in some massive data stream that's collected in the cloud with redundancy so that your entire life will be recorded. By who? That's a big question. And to what end? That's the big question. What's the purpose for all this? Again, as we saw, Skynet didn't turn out too good for the human race. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to get zapped by killer robots. It's that our life is being captured and taken from us and used for commercial purposes. And that's the real danger, in addition to the health effects of our biology.
You referenced your two-part article, Radiation in Your Hands, A Guide for Living in the Hyper-Digital World. There's two parts on that article. Our guests, Jeanette Hasberg, Donna Janelle, and Guy Ventresca. Donna, a lot of your focus has been on the effects of smart meters on human health, and you've researched a lot of material about the health consequences from exposure to smart meter EMF emissions. Can you tell listeners, please, how you got interested in this topic?
Well, I would like to backtrack a little bit and add to Guy what he was saying about the whole idea of spying on you. I have an article here that says smart meter companies admit we're spying on you. Here's CIA chief, we'll spy on you through your dishwasher. And former CIA director James Woolsey said the smart grid is a really, really stupid grid. General David Petraeus stated that this age of technology will transform the art of spying. So I know that sometimes we don't don't know if we can talk about that, but I just did want to throw that in.
Of course you can talk about that on this show. This is what this show is about. This is what the station is about.
Jeff, it's so good to be validated by the CIA director.
Yeah. Yep.
And I do have to admit, though, when I started listening, when I started getting into this, and it started, I think, with Take Back Your Power, and it feels like I've been doing this for a year and a half, maybe 2 years, and how it started. But when I was listening to that, Josh Del Sol was an expert who actually they managed to get from utilities company in-house video and information, and it talked about exactly how they were gaining this information and they were selling it to subcontractors or sub-companies and everything like that, and they were very, very boastful and proud of it, making more money off of selling our private data than what your electricity bill is.
Now, let's get back to that question of health consequences from exposure to smart meter EMF emissions.
So basically, when I first started finding out about dirty electricity, and then I found out about the Take Back Your Power, and then I started really doing studies on it, I started reading these things that smart meter radiation penetrates deeper into children's bodies and brains. And this is, again, Environmental Health Trust. It is estimated that smart meters emit 100 times more radiation than cell phones do, and that's from Daniel Hirsch, who's a California radiation expert and instructor at UCSD. And EMFs impact your cells to cause debilitating health effects because they react with DNA. And that other thing that I was reading to you about the frequency disrupting, and I was speaking about things from the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers, and also they say that this type of nerve block it is possible for this type of nerve block to disrupt heart muscle, brain function, and other important bodily functions as they rely on communication within the nervous systems.
You're saying frequency disruption. It's the EMF is disrupting the natural frequencies of the human body?
Yes, and again, this is very general. This is not very academic, but I listened to, I think it was Nancy Hopkins, I listened and she tried to simplify it. She says, okay, your electron protons are going around this way. Let's say they're going clockwise. It might not be that way. And you've got these waves going counter the other way. So you're being blasted constantly by these waves, as it says here that the smart meters emit RF bursts on an average of 9,600 times a day with a maximum of 190,000 daily transmissions. I'm sure that's your offices and corporations. And a peak emission 2.5 times higher than the stated safety signal. Well, children especially, it says that it penetrates deeper into children's bodies and brains, especially because, you know, if they're not hardened enough, the brains. And even Dr. Anthony Miller, Professor Emeritus at University of Toronto, he is advisor to the International Agency for Research on Cancer, said many scientists worldwide now believe that radio frequency radiation should be elevated to a class 1 human carcinogen, the same list as cigarettes, x-rays, and asbestos.
So there is a difference, let me just interject, between chronic exposure and sporadic exposure. So your body can recover from sporadic exposure. If it's momentary, up to a few minutes, it's fine. It's when it's chronic. So most people in this country live in freestanding homes where the smart meters are mounted right on the outside wall of their home, near the bedrooms. That's chronic exposure. That's where the real danger is. It's not so bad in New York City because most of us live in multi-unit dwellings, multiple unit buildings, where all the meters are down in the basement. And because I want to be realistic here, because we're going to get counter-criticism from the industry. So the real danger is the chronic exposure. So if all your devices become smart and you have the smart meters, then you have the cell phone networks, then you add the satellites, then you add radiation. Let's say a lot of people cook with a microwave oven. Well, that's incredibly ill-informed decision-making because you are radiating the food, first of all, and you're eating the radiation, which your DNA recognizes. Radiated food is a massive danger to human health. Now, let me go back to, because, Jeff, you were asking about what happens, how does radiation actually affect the cells? Because electrons and photons and neutrons are rotating inside the atom. And, you know, there's a lot of studies about showing you how they react differently when they're being observed versus when they're not being observed. Mm-hmm. But they have a spin. And when they're radiated with non-native radiation, the spin reverses. Instead of running, let's say, clockwise, they'll spin counterclockwise. This is where you get DNA damage. And that's the problem with non-ionizing radiation. The frequency spectrum of almost all the electronics that we are exposed to is classified as non-ionizing. And Jeanette, maybe we should talk about this because the industry uses this standard called thermal heating. Mm. They say non-ionizing is fine because it doesn't heat your skin.
That's ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. So maybe you can address that, and this will perhaps help people understand why we're in danger. Well,
in the 80s and 90s, you know, there was some concern that, you know, well, how is this measured? How can you assure us that these, you know, these contraptions, these toys, actually, that they're safe to use, these communication devices? And the study that they came up with, starting in 1986, and they developed it by 1992, they had a man-sized dummy. And they tested on a man-sized dummy to see if it would heat up the surface of this thing by 1 degree. And if it didn't...
By the way, the model for the dummy was a 200-pound U.S. Army soldier.
Uh-huh. There you go. I mean, it wasn't even living tissue. And then when, you know, when the it was protested, well, what about the brain? So they came up with this plastic model of a head, like you would put a hat on, filled it with soapy water, and now talk about brainwash, and then subject that to it and see if it heats up the surface of that. And they're using that. They're using that to this day as the standard. And so, as a result, the standards that are set in other countries, you know, as a typical model, other countries range from one, I don't know what the, you know, what they are measuring, but between 1 and 10. 10 is on the upper level of safety. The United States and Canada, and Israel has a level of 100. The USA and Canada has 600 to 1,000 of the same measures. Now, it would be hard to actually get a human being to be able to tolerate what is within the limits that they're calling safe. So just by setting the bar so high, it is almost impossible to say that by the industry standards that they are doing something hazardous to our health. And typically, they have no health experts on their team. They have only, you know, engineers. They have, you know, these electronic specialists, scientists of other disciplines and stuff, but they don't have any health experts whatsoever. And all of the studies that they come up with that they claim prove safety are done within the industry, using industry-paid scientists spinning and skewing their results to suit the bottom line that they wish to achieve commercially.
If we want to talk about these standards, and this is a problem with a lot of the laws, like we have going on right now in the state Senate, we have Bill 1618, and they have the same one, Assembly 3919, and basically it's the same one, and it's about to restrict the use of advanced metering infrastructure devices by electric and gas corporations. And one of the things that they use is the FCC standards. They want to check out the FCC standards and the ANSI standards, the American National Standards Institute. Well, if you look at who are on the board members of this, you will see basically you have Ajit Pai, you know, and you if you start looking at their biographical information, which I did, I mean, basically they care nothing about human health, as which also the 1996 Telecom Act has nothing to do about health. In fact, you cannot sue utilities company on the idea of health. So you have people like Brendan Carr who's on there, and basically one of the things does he want to do? He wants to expand America's skilled workforce, the tower climbers and construction crews needed to build next generation workers and good paying 5G jobs. He says he wants to do governing build out of next generation infrastructure, including 5G. This is in his biography. Does he care? Does he or Ajit or these people who have their, that they have connections with the utility companies and telecom, do you think they're going to care about that? Then if we go into ANSI, American National Standards Institute, you have a person on there, and again, sometimes I feel like there is a conflict of interest that some of these people who are on these on the board, you have one here, Monica Barone, and she also has connections working for Qualcomm. Qualcomm is one of the biggest makers of 5G.
This is being pushed as necessary for U.S., for the economy. In other words, this is the next great wave of technology that will drive the economy into the 21st century. So if you try and protest or ask questions, it's almost like they're accusing you of being un-American. Because mm-hmm. what,
true.
You don't want the nation to thrive? You
That's
don't right. want us to be economically powerful? Mm-hmm. What's
national
wrong with
security.
You?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then it becomes a national security issue on top of the commercial interest.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have, it's not just conflict of interest in that an industry member is also on, let's say, the head of the FCC or the head of the FDA or is a director at NIH. It's not just that. It's that at a high level of government, we are now being ruled by technocrats and bureaucrats who are making agendas in an undemocratic fashion. So this undermines the republic. So really, to bring this at the best level, it's our responsibilities and our rights as citizens of a democratic republic, which are under attack and have been mm-hmm. since the 80s. This is not a new phenomenon. This has been creeping.
You write in your two-part article, Radiation in Your Hands, A Guide for Living in the Hyper-Digital World, quote, there is a fear that 5G can be used as a mind control device. This is based on the fact, not rumor, that the high end of the frequency range of 5G is the same as that of various U.S. Army electronic warfare systems called active denial systems. Would you tell listeners more about that, please?
I was an Army officer for 8 years during the Cold War, and then when I got out, I went into the IT industry. So during the 80s, 90s, and early 00s, I was in the information technology industry when it was going through a massive transformation from strictly data processing done on mainframe computers to information being processed at various levels of the corporation and the government. And then you had the integration with the telecoms industry. So it wasn't just the generation of data. How do you move the data and communicate it? So now we have this thing called IT, information technology. And so, in other words, my background puts me in the forefront of both military and commercial interests that are interested in collecting data, storing it, and using it, and moving it around the world. So during that time, I learned about these. These are existing weapon systems that the Army has had for some time. They're used for crowd dispersion. Now, the original idea was how, let's say there's a massive protest against something and you don't want to open up on the crowd with machine guns or even water cannon or even rubber bullets. Here's another way you can do it. You can set up a small truck or Humvee within it with a satellite dish, and it can beam a signal towards the crowd, and it'll actually heat their skin. So the people will think that they are on fire, and they will run away. This device was perfected, and it actually works. And it operates in the frequency range that is the same as the upper level of 5G. So we're talking 60, 70, 80 gigahertz per second. So the potential, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but the potential is that the civilian rolled out 5G network could be used in the same method as a directed specific electronic warfare weapon. The other thing is that the military discovered mind control. You asked me about mind control, Jeff. So mind control, if you see the Jason Bourne movies, that's based on the MKUltra program, which the CIA instituted in the 60s, whereby they would use LSD, they would use different methods of torture, including waterboarding, to condition a human being to become a robotic killer. Now, this program was real. It was shut down by Congress, but a lot of the research was continued in other programs, in both the intelligence arena and in defense, in the Pentagon, so that they learned that you can instill, in those frequencies, you can put emotional triggers like aggression or passivity, so that they don't have to set the crowd's skin on fire. They can just send a signal that says, oh, relax, you don't really want to be doing this. Why don't you go home and turn on some TV? And the crowd will just turn into zombies and just walk away. Or you can ramp up the emotions and turn, and people will start punching each other and fighting in the streets. So there is a science behind it. So electronic frequencies in the same range as 5G can be used to emotionally manipulate human beings. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not talking about, you know, these wild conspiracy theories. This is science. This is real. Now, are we going to allow them to roll out this technology and hope that they'll use it for the benefit of mankind? When did that ever work out in history? Give me an example.
Actually, I think that since they have this tool in their hands, that probably covertly there's applications of this going on right now, because sometimes there are, you know, these anomalous events and protests and stuff. Just the phenomenon of an activated killer, like someone who had a normal life up until like half an hour ago. I don't know. I remember during the Batman movie, some guy who was going for his degree in dentistry suddenly flew off the handle and went into a theater and started killing people. And it's very weird. I mean, how do people just simply go crazy like this? And oddly enough, I mean, you look at a lot of events that are inexplicable. I mean, for example, the Boston Marathon bombers. These guys were deeply connected to the CIA. You know, as somebody who had information about it, was actually beaten to death in Florida or murdered while being interrogated in Florida about the connections to these guys. So, you know, I'm wondering if there isn't some way, some secret military operation that is going on right now that is using our fellow citizens against us in this way where they do not, you know, they're like Manchurian candidates. They do not have control over their own free will. And that's totally repulsive to me, totally repugnant. Yes, it's frightening, but it's enraging at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, what do we have of this existence on Earth except to negotiate a reasonable life for ourselves and some kind of progress for the human race? And we are not anti-progress, conspiracy nuts. You know, and the fact is we are not anti-progress. We would like to push progress a little further forward to where this wonderful technology can be made safe. If you look right now, and there's censorship going on in Google, you know, I tried to find a few things that I knew were there a year ago, for example. I can't find it now. And I look for the effects of EMF, and what I find are the stellar good effects. And the fact is that since the 1950s, they have known about certain good effects that come from electrical stimulation. It can be used by acupuncturists and chiropractors to help bones to mend and to help remineralize the bones. It can be used as a psychiatric tool, the transcranial stimulation with regular, slow, low, you know, natural mimicking frequencies to help take care of mild to moderate depression and anxiety, etc. So these things, they're not necessarily bad for us. They just need to be applied in a controlled way, used with a precautionary principle, and used with awareness that there is an effect. For them to stonewall us, have the New York Times stumping for Verizon and just debunking, you know, thoughtful articles saying consider the risks and putting it off to Russia, which is totally absurd, you know. Totally. And, you know, we're looking for some kind of illumination on it, and all we have from our media is advertising and confusion, and this really needs to stop.
One thing, this is important, piggybacking what Jeanette just said, these frequencies can be used for healing. They can be infused with, and actually programmed to heal people, and that's what PEMF machines do. And there are in the chiropractic and osteopathic world, this healing effect is known. So that's the point. The frequencies, as they're being implemented, are neutral. But when they can be programmed for detrimental effects, the examples I gave earlier, or they can be programmed with healing effects. And one of the companies that I recommend, Blue Shield, has done exactly that. So an electronic engineer in New Zealand figured out a way to use the same frequencies that the telecoms industry uses for their wireless technology to put healing frequencies in there. So the potential is there. There's no question.
Did you wear any protection on the plane in your flight?
Yes, I did. In fact, I talk about this in part two of my report. So I have two. There's two categories of protection. Now, by no means, if you use these, are you fully protected. You're still exposed to these frequencies. And let's be realistic. Every time you get in an airplane, you're getting hit by the mother of all radiation, and that's the sun. So cosmic radiation from the sun at 30,000 feet is highly detrimental to biological life. That's why pilots and air crew members have a much higher rate of cancer than the general public, because they're flying all the time. So you're going to get it, okay? So what I do is I have passive devices and active devices. So the passive ones, for example, I'll wear a magnet card in my pocket. I will, around my neck, I've got some solid silver pendants which have crystals in them. I've got tourmaline that I carry in my other pocket. Tourmaline, it generates negatively charged ions, which is what exists in nature. So anytime you're walking on the beach, walking through a forest, climbing a mountain, breathing fresh air, you feel that earthly charge. You feel exhilarated. That's because the earth, the ionosphere at the surface of the earth, is negatively charged. All the man-made radiation we've been discussing is positively charged, which is against life. So when you get it, when you are flooded with too much positive charged ions, that's when you start getting detrimental health effects. You know, if you go to Las Vegas to a casino, the air filtration machines, they have negative charged ion generators in there because they want to stimulate the gamblers. This is like Hollywood, like all the writers in Hollywood, they know this. So they'll go to Vegas and hang out in the casinos just to get stimulated and get ideas for their shows. Mm-hmm. So I carry, when I'm on the plane, so I have negatively charged ion generators. I wear one around my neck. And I have tourmaline in my pocket. So those are the passives. And then there's active. There's two active devices that I recommend to people. And Jeff, I don't know how detailed you want me to get into this.
Well, we're running out of time. We got about 5 minutes, I would say, and I would still have to cut this down for WBAI because we have to put in pitching, 5 minutes of pitching, which I'll do at another time. So there's still
maybe we can just direct people to the resource and they can look at it themselves.
Okay, so
we can see if Guy will let us offer some of his products.
Yeah.
But you were about to say there are active devices.
Oh, yeah.
And if you could just finish that sentence and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay, good. So there's two types. There is a there's a company called Total Shield. This product was designed by a chiropractor and osteopath, and he had it built by a defense contractor he knew in North Carolina that makes products for the Navy. So the Total Shield is it's a small tower that you can plug into your home, and it restores the Earth's natural resonant frequency of 7.83 hertz. It's called the Schumann resonance. It's an average of all the frequencies that the Earth puts out on the surface. All biological life evolved over millions of years tuned into this frequency, 7.83 hertz. Not megahertz, not gigahertz, not terahertz, hertz. So the Total Shield puts that out. It also puts out a frequency that that blocks satellite radiation. So it's a dual-purpose device, and there's a portable version of it. So that's Total Shield. Then there's a company called Blue Shield. Blue Shield is the New Zealand-based company that uses the existing frequencies and adds a healing. It uses scalar wave technology. I don't want to get too scientific, but scalar waves allows information to travel through the atmosphere at the speed of thought, as opposed to the speed of light. So Blue Shield puts out healing frequencies, and there is a portable version that's the size of a credit card. That's the one I carry with me on the plane. And on my website, I list the actual sources where you can buy them. I give you discount codes. And you can get anywhere 15% off getting the Total Shield or the Blue Shield product along with free shipping. So that's not a promotion for me. I don't get any benefit. That's just for your listeners.
Okay, just for listeners, that article is titled "Radiation in Your Hands: A Guide for Living in the Hyper Digital World." There's parts 1 and 2. Well, you know, communities aren't going down without a fight. The local resistance, especially around schools, is getting coverage, but not enough. And the growing outrage against the traitors within local government that have passed bills to allow 5G masts and more wireless radiation emissions have been led by local and regional groups and parents. And these corporations are openly coming in to communities and setting up equipment that emit cancer-causing microwave radiation. In conclusion, would any of you like to share your thoughts here?
Well, I personally I feel that the next generations are the ones that are really, really suffering right now. These kids that have been exposed to this, over the last 30 years, there's been an exploding dynamic of ADD, ADHD, autism, childhood allergies, cancers, just really a diminution of the quality of life. And it looks as though ignorantly parents are exposing, especially mothers are exposing the eggs in their girl babies while they are in their womb a few generations up. We are looking at an extinction event. Ollie Johansson of the Karolinska Institute, who has been demoted into a broom closet for exposing this, in the next five generations, there might not be any more humans. So I'm terrified. I think this can't be any, there's no greater hazard right now besides nuclear war.
Thank you, Jeanette Hasberg. Donna, what are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are exactly, there's people who die from the electromagnetic sensitivity. There was even a lady, she was a Buddhist, and she committed suicide to bring this to front that of the suffering that people do. And as far as people who have sensitivity, like myself, there is, I'm sure that you know how the federal court overturns the FCC order bypassing environmental review for 4G, 5G wireless.
Guy, closing thoughts?
Yes, you can find that article I wrote if you type in Radiation in Your Hands, A Guide for Living in the Hyper-Digital World. It'll come up.
Guy Ventresca, Donna Janelle, thank you for being here as well with the work and research that you've brought. Thank all of you for being on
much,
the show.
Jeff. Thank you so much
for helping us.
Allowing us to put out the word.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.